When I first began to sit down and think about what the Lord would have me to speak on this evening, the song came into my head, the old spiritual song, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" And that just captured my attention. And I asked myself the question, I wonder who wrote this. I wonder if it was written at a time when there could have actually been somebody who was physically present when Jesus was crucified. So I decided to do a little investigation, and I found out that the author, composer of the song is unknown. It first appeared in a hymnal in the late 1800s, and it was believed to come to the United States through the slave trade, more than likely in the early 1800s. So probably the origin or the beginning of the song was the 1800s, and consequently when the author created the words, it was impossible for anyone to be living then who was alive at the time of Christ's crucifixion. So that led to a second question. What did he mean when he said, "Were you there?" So I decided to do a little investigation into the scriptures and find out who exactly was at the cross of Christ during the crucifixion. And I want to share the results of my investigation with you tonight. They're found mostly from Matthew chapter 27, but the first verse that I come to, it says, "Then the soldiers of the governor," now this would be Pilate, consequently they would be Roman soldiers, "took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers." Now later we see there is a centurion that is at the cross. Centurion would have charge over 100 different soldiers. So very possibly, it says here, they gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. There were actually maybe 100 soldiers surrounding the cross of Jesus Christ. And nonetheless, they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. So the first thing, and I'm going to list them here for you tonight, in answering the question, "Were you there?" There were soldiers, men who were given to maintaining peace by the upholding of civil law. Now let's move on to the next one. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 38, it says, "And there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left." So we're going to add criminals, which is interesting in that they appear back to back here. You have people that are interested in preserving peace and maintaining the law, and two men that had broken the law and corrupted the peace. And yet they're set side by side, interestingly enough. Third one, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Here we have people that are just what I'm going to call common, ordinary people. They were unnamed as to a specific occupation or social status or anything else. I would take it that there were people probably from every strata of life. There were professional people and non-professional. There were blue-collar workers and white-collar workers. There were educated people and uneducated people. There were rich people and poor people. I take it that it just spans the whole society of people. Every walk of life was probably represented by those that passed by. Next, "Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Three people here, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. So what you have here are the religious leaders. That would be the chief priests and the scribes. The priests were the ministers of the day. The scribes were the theologians of the day. Primarily their job was copying the scriptures, but in copying the scriptures they became the theologians. And then the elders were the political leaders. Now, not the governmental ones of Rome, but the government of Israel. The elders were the Sanhedrin, would be the group of 70 political leaders that decided how justice was to be enacted according to the Mosaic law. So you have here Romans, you have criminals, you have common people, you have Jewish folks that are high up in the muckety-muck, if you will. And then we find this, and there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her in unto his own house. So we have here, finally then, his mother, other women, and John the Apostle. Now we have believers. So we have believers and unbelievers. We have common people of every sort. We have religious people, irreligious people, lawbreakers and lawkeepers. May I say to you that gathered around the cross of Christ was someone from every category, if you will, of life. If you try and find some kind of way of describing people, everyone was there. Now, obviously, not every person was there, but someone of every variety or category of mankind was represented at the cross. Were you there? Well, obviously, none of you were there physically, but you were represented there by somebody who has a likeness to you. Well, then the song goes on, Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. And as I was thinking about that, I asked myself the question, why only sometimes? You ever think about that one? It seems like an odd song. Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Sometimes it doesn't. So I said to myself, well, how did these people respond to the cross of Christ? Were there any here that trembled? So let me go back over the list here and see how they responded. Go to the soldiers. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly. May I say to you, they trembled, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. They looked around and they saw Jesus hanging on the cross. Not like anybody else that they had witnessed before. I wouldn't doubt that they had seen numbers of people crucified before. Jesus responded in a way that was completely unique. He wasn't cursing. He wasn't bitter. Thank you, Ron. He wasn't mad at God. He wasn't mad at the people below him. He was calm. Obviously, he was experiencing all the pain and the agony that crucifixion would have. But he was responding in such a way that was unique. And then they saw and they came to break his legs and he was dead already. They marveled at that. There was an earthquake apparently after he was after he had died, that the tombs opened up and the dead came forth. They saw that. They saw the veil of the temple being cut in half from top to bottom. They saw darkness over the course of about 3 hours during his crucifixion. And they said, something just isn't ordinary about this person. This was not a man that we crucified. Truly, this was the Son of God. Now here you are, given appointed authority, and you have just crucified the Son of God. How would you respond? I think it would be far more than, oops. I think they trembled. Now I don't know if this is a declaration of faith that is saving. Certainly it is a declaration of faith in the person of Christ. I don't know if they understood what was going on as far as him dying on the cross, but they trembled. And may I say to you that whenever you come to realize that Jesus is the Son of God, I mean, really realize in who he is, he shouldn't just take it as, oh, yeah, he's the Son of God. It should cause you to tremble. Well, let's look at the criminals. One of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Both of them, at the very beginning of the crucifixion, were just reviling Christ. But somewhere along the line, this one criminal recognized, maybe in the same way that the centurion did, that this just wasn't an ordinary man. And he came to recognize him as the Son of God, but he also saw something else in him. He saw the innocence of Christ. Here I am, here you are, man, and we're suffering, and we suffer rightly. We've broken the law. We deserve what we're getting. But this man has done nothing wrong. Maybe he heard Pilate say that. And yet he's dying without complaining. And I think at this point he's recognizing that as the Son of God, he's bearing his sins in Jesus' body and dying in his place. And he cries out for salvation. May I say to you, there were some criminals, at least one, that saw Jesus suffering for sin and he trembled. Well, let's move on to the religious and political leaders. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloth with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Here comes Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He was the one that came to Jesus by night. Well, why did he come to Jesus by night? Scripture does not definitively say. But let's just put it like it is. When you do something at night, you're doing it because you don't want to be seen. Now, I think he came to Jesus by night because he was afraid of what might be if he recognized that Jesus truly was Israel's Messiah, the Savior of the world. And it came by fear. And consequently, he was never open about his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Kept it to himself. Likewise, Joseph of Arimathea was a member of the Sanhedrin, the legal or political leaders of the Jews. He also, when they tried Jesus, was absent from the body because he knew he could not vote to have him crucified. And it says that he feared the Jews, and consequently he absented himself. And it would look like, well, okay, he was just missing, but we sure can count on his vote. But now, they're beholding, both of them are beholding Christ on the cross. And they're seeing the one paying for his sin, the religious leader, who time after time after time after time had offered sacrifices, as the writer of Hebrews said, that can never take away our sins. And here's the one that's doing that, suffering on our behalf. Joseph of Arimathea, the one who was in charge of executing the law of Moses in a just manner, of exercising rule over people, said, here is the sovereign of the universe. And this is how he is being treated. This is not right. May I say to you that both of them trembled. Well, then there's Jesus' mother and other women and John. What do we know of them? Well, if we go back to the verse that I cited before, obviously there was a special relationship between Jesus and his mother. A mother's love for her son is unquestionable. It's unique. It's different from any other type of love. And there he is on the cross, and he's looking down, and he says to his mother, "Behold your son." I think she was motivated, moved by the love he had for her. There's Mary Magdalene, who came from a lifetime of anything but godliness, who had been redeemed, who had been forgiven, who had been declared just in the sight of God. She had a special love. And of course, John, the writer of the gospel, always refers to himself as the one who Jesus loved. Not that he didn't love the other apostles, but there was a special relationship. And consequently, he was moved. All three of them were moved by the love that was being expressed, for God so loved the world that hanging on that cross was his only begotten Son that he had given, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, there's only one group left, and that's the common people. And you know what? I don't find anywhere that any of the common people trembled. Now, I'm not saying that didn't happen, but there's nothing of record in Scripture of any of the common people trembling. So I come back and I look at this once again, and I get this. "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. Thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." The key words here are these: "They that passed by." In other words, when they came to the cross of Christ, we're out for a stroll on a Friday afternoon, had nothing better. Oh, look at there, crucifixion's going on. Well, three of them. Well, that's interesting. That guy in the middle is kind of unique. Well, let's go home. They passed by. They never considered the fact that on the cross, and let me go backwards here, was the Son of God. And consequently, they didn't tremble. They never considered what he was doing, suffering for sin. And consequently, they didn't recognize their own as the repentant thief did. They didn't see him as paying for the sin once and for all. After all, if there's a problem that they had, all they had to do is find a sacrifice, find a priest somewhere, go to the temple, offer the sacrifice, and they're good. No, they're not. They didn't see the law as something that had to be kept before a holy God, something that they couldn't keep. And they never knew the love of God. And consequently, they didn't tremble. So when he says, "Sometimes it causes me to tremble," I'm thinking that it's not me personally that he's talking about. He's talking about these groups of people, and some of them came to faith because they stood and beheld, and others that just passed by didn't. Now, what do we have by way of application for you and I here tonight? Well, if all that you do here tonight is come and pass by for 45 minutes or so and go home, you won't tremble. You'll perform your duty. You've been here on a Good Friday service. You've done your deed. After all, it's kind of tradition that we have one of those things, and it really won't cause you to change your life at all. But there was a centurion who had his life changed. There was a criminal that had his life changed. There was a Pharisee that had his life changed. There was a member of the Sanhedrin that had his life changed. There was a fisherman that had his life changed. There was a mother who had her life changed. Why? Because they saw the person of Jesus Christ and what he did and trembled. Stood in awe. Stood and contemplated all that he is and what he was doing. And it changed their lives. And if it only changes your life on one day of the week, does it really change your life? Sometimes it causes me to tremble because I think about these things and, well, they're pretty important, aren't they? Wow. They're pretty important, aren't they? That's better. But when I don't give thought to them and I just pass by, I don't tremble. And then what's life about? I challenge you tonight. Be a centurion. Be a repentant thief. Be a Pharisee. Repentant Pharisee. Be a repentant member of the Sanhedrin. Be a loving mother. A following disciple. And tremble. And then don't stop tonight. Do it again tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. Till you die. Let's pray. Father, may tonight not just be an exercise of routine, of tradition, of accomplishment, of a debt that we owe, even though certainly it is a debt that we owe to worship you, but a night that truly causes us to tremble. Tremble in admiration. Tremble in fear of how great you are. Tremble in the power of God that would raise that body from the dead. Tremble in the fact that Jesus Christ one day is coming again. Tremble in the fact that He is the sovereign of the universe, whom we in our sin put to death. Lord, may we so be changed each and every day of our lives that we might be more and more and more and more like Him who died for us. To that end, we pray in His name and for your glory. Amen. While we come, close us out tonight.